This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise. And Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library, who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host, and I have special guests with me today. With me is Mayor Corey Mason of Racine, and very excited to have him because there's so much that we have to talk about. So, Mayor Mason, good morning. So glad you're here.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah. Let's just start out by talking about how far Racine has come under your mayorship, if that's a real word.
Yeah, sure.
When we were getting ready to do the show, you were talking about the crime rate in Racine. And I want to start with that because I think it's really significant.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think it's been, 2 years ago at this point, we were certainly seeing a large spike in crime and gun violence in particular. And it was a national trend that we were seeing, and Racine was unfortunately not immune from it. So 2 years later, we're at a decades low point in serious crime. Now, I always hesitate to, do a victory lap on serious crime because, there's still serious crime happening. But our gun violence is down almost 70% over last year in terms of people being struck with gunfire. And we haven't had a homicide yet this year. So it's the longest we've gone since 1984 without a homicide. So that's a real testament to law enforcement and public safety, but it's also the city established a community safety department, which works on preventing crime and not just solving crime. So we're working to do both. We're solving the crimes and we're working to prevent the things that cause the crimes in the first place. And we seem to be having some success with that. And so, a lot of credit goes to law enforcement and our community safety partners, but also just to citizens themselves that have taken an active role in helping us with the prevention work and calling things in when they see them. So we've been really pleased with the progress that we've made. And, Chief Ramirez and the police department, along with John Tate and the community safety team that he's put together, deserve a lot of the credit.
Tell us a little more about the community safety team. They operate independent of, but they're not part of the police department?
That's right. So they work alongside the police department, right? And so their approach, which is, a research-based approach that we're seeing work in other big cities like Boston and other places, is really, when there are events that happen, particularly around gun violence, that it's oftentimes the same group of people who are likely to be victim and perpetrator of these gun violence-related issues. And so what you do is, if there is a violent event that takes place, you do the interventions that you can to try to identify people in the family or friends or, people that are affiliated with who might be angry or frustrated or looking to escalate that violence to the next level. You do interventions there and you make every effort to do that work. So we've been doing a really intentional work in that space. And so we've been doing that we have people on staff directly that do that. But then we have also worked with a nonprofit in Milwaukee that we brought down here called Safe and Sound, which is teams of people that are out in the community directly talking to young people and businesses and knocking on doors in the neighborhood. So they're helping to us identify what potential hotspots might be out there that might escalate to the point of violence before it happens. So it's really being proactive on some of those things. And the other thing I should say, we've had great partnerships with the county and the sheriff's department, with ATF, with the FBI. And so, we've really been able to multiply our resources by working with other agencies to help keep us safe. So it's been a concerted effort and a combined effort, but we worked really hard at it. And we're seeing some good results that I think are really important that people in the community should be proud of.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Now, you mentioned ATF and FBI. How have they been involved?
I don't want to get too specific about how exactly we work with them, but, you know, there are often federal crimes that come into play and some warrants that need to be executed. And, you know, when I say this, it won't come as a surprise, but, you know, criminals don't always respect political boundaries. So, you know, I'd love to imagine that they're always going to stay in the confines of the city limits of Racine, but oftentimes people are coming from other jurisdictions and even other states to perpetuate crimes. And so being able to work with our federal partners to identify those bad actors has been an important thing for us to be able to do as well.
That's amazing. You know, I guess we think, you know, little old Racine, how can we be attracting that sort of thing, but we are. We're on that corridor.
Yeah, we're between Milwaukee and Chicago, and it's one of the busiest, you know, sort of mega regions is what they're called in the country. This sort of corridor that's growing into itself between Milwaukee and Chicago. Now that has lots of economic benefits that are good, and we're excited about and glad to plug into the region. But it can come with some other consequences that aren't always the greatest, and so we work to stay on top of those. And so we've been, you know, collaborating with people wherever we can to make sure that everybody's engaged and doing everything we can, like I said, to solve those crimes, but also try to prevent crimes before they occur.
Right, right. Oh, and clearly that's working. So we do have reason to celebrate.
That kind of
change. So yay for us. So what else is going on in Racine that we need to let everybody know about?
Yeah, I mean, we're just coming off, you know, the 4th of July and celebrating that, the Independence Week, which was really great to be able to do that in early July. And, you know, what I love about that, in addition to sort of celebrating our nation's history and our liberties, is just it's such a big deal, the 4th of July parade for the city of Racine. You know, we have tens of thousands of people who come out for it. We have tens of thousands of people who come home for it, right? It's kind of a homecoming.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe. Yes.
Yeah. But we had a lot of people just comment, like, you know, the downtown just looks great. We've got a lot of new stores that are in the storefronts, but we've got a brand new hotel that's in the old Zahn's department store that had been empty for 40 years. And we've got the breakwater that's getting built at the end of Lake Street there that's going to have, you know, more than 200 new apartments with lake views coming into play. And that's going to open this fall. And so we've been really excited. We've seen more economic activity in the downtown in the last few years than we'd seen in the previous 20. So we're really excited about what that means for the neighborhood and what it looks like. You know, we've even undone some of the one-way streets that were running through the downtown and made them two-way again, just to make it a little bit more
pedestrian. I still can't get used to that.
I know. We've got some habits to break, but people have been used to it for a long time. But they've been really positive developments, and people have been pretty excited to be down there. So, you know, we're always excited to be there. And then, you know, just the range of restaurants that exist are just really great. And, you know, that new boutique hotel, Hotel Verdon, that's down there, they've got a great restaurant on the ground floor. But if you haven't yet taken the opportunity to go to the rooftop at their rooftop bar there and just get the beautiful view of the downtown where you can see the lake and the river, and you can look over one shoulder and see, you know, the lighthouse up at one point, and look over the other shoulder and see the research tower at the SCJ campus, is just a beautiful way to see the city. And if people haven't had a chance to enjoy that view of our city yet, I would strongly encourage them to check it out.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I am so tickled that the naysayers have all been proven wrong and that it did happen, and it's thriving and it's beautiful. Yeah. And we are so lucky to have that right smack in our downtown. So
we are.
What makes someone want to come and open a business in downtown Racine?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think everybody's answer is a little bit different. And, you know, whether it's a developer who's like putting in apartment buildings or hotel, they just see, you know, lots of potential in the downtown that maybe sometimes people who are here, because we're used to it, we've been so familiar with it, maybe we don't see what other people coming from the outside see. But then, you know, during COVID and coming out of COVID, we put a lot of grants in place with the help of the Evers administration. So we put up some resources, and as did the Evers administration, to have these sort of small business grants. So a lot of boutique stores were able to get going in some of the storefronts and be able to do some of the work there. So that's been very exciting and positive. And, you know, we just, First Friday was on the 5th. And so, you know, coming right off the 4th, you had a lot of people walking around July 5th and enjoying the stores and the restaurants and the bars. It was just great to see it so crowded at the downtown. So, you know, it's a great way to enjoy this really great place. And, you know, the other thing people forget about our downtown, because it's been there for so long, but there are other communities who would love to have a downtown like ours, right? I mean, it just has this sense of place and these historic buildings and just really, you know, really defines an area that other communities wish that they had. And so it's getting people here to rediscover it and look at it anew and maybe try a new restaurant or facility out. And it also means getting people coming in from the outside who think, wow, we really think there's something exciting that we could do here. So that's been great. And then the other thing, and I know we'll get a chance to talk about it a little bit more, but we've got a new firm that's been managing our festival hall and memorial hall. And so that's brought additional activity to the downtown that we're really excited about as well.
Most definitely. And we'll be talking with Patrick a little bit later in the show about all of that. So, you know, and let's just be plain and honest about it. There was a time when, well, I remember when Festival Hall and Festival Park was first opened, and oh my goodness, it was going to be wonderful. And it was, and there was ice skating, and there was, you know, it was the community was very involved. And then over time, events came and went, and oh my gosh, it was too expensive to hold an event there. And, you know, and then suddenly there wasn't much going on. And so what made the city step back and take a look at that again?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly heard a lot from the community. I mean, I was in middle school when Festival Hall opened, right? So it was just sort of like a childhood memory of what it was like. But it was, you know, it was the mid-late 80s when Festival Hall opened. And yeah, I remember when the ice rink was down there, and you'd go down there in the winter and be able to do that. And that, you know, that unfortunately is no longer there. But there used to be a lot more events. And so people would just, you know, sort of wonder, like, what happened to the festivals that used to be there? And I would say there's a couple of things that came into play. Like, over time, these events have become more and more expensive to put on. And so having organizers who have the wherewithal to put those events together has been hard. The other thing is we had a long-term contract with a firm that had been managing and sort of booking events there for us and, you know, supposedly marketing the site for us. That got a lot harder during COVID, right? I mean, Festival Hall and Memorial Hall just really stopped, right? And so we were using Festival Hall for an early voting location, and we were using it as a place where people could get COVID testing. But much beyond that, for a couple years there, not a lot got done. And so, you know, we'd heard from members of the community and members from the city council, particularly Alders Paffrath and Mary Land, who said, you know, could we put this out to bid? Could we see if there's somebody else who wants to give it a go with Festival Hall and see if they could bring some of these events back and maybe have a better time with it? And so we put it out to bid, and, you know, I'm pleased to say that a local firm called 5K, which you're going to talk to Patrick in a little while here, won that bid. And they've been off to a great start of, you know, putting events together. They've had more bookings than we've had in a long time. Sam and Arama will be back later this month, in part because of the work that they did to reach out to them and make sure that that's a successful event here. So it's off to a great start. But, you know, they've also been realistic about, you know, working with community partners to just be able to say, like, look, if you want to be able to do a successful event, you know, you have to be able to bring the financial resources to be able to do that. There's no, you know, the city's not just going to simply pay for the event for you. We're already paying for the facility and the contract and everything else. Mm-hmm. We need our community partners to be able to and do a successful event. And that usually is a combination, and Patrick knows this formula much better than I do, but just, you know, you've got to find sponsors and you've got to sell tickets and give people a reason to come there. And when you do that, people have a much more successful event and likelihood of being able to come back again and again and again.
Most definitely. And I think one of the things that prompted me to want to do this interview with you and with Patrick were some of the pictures that I saw on Facebook from the city about the changes, not just at Festival Park and Festival Hall, but at Memorial Hall.
Yeah.
And so was the city behind those changes?
So 5K, you know, took on both venues, right? They book events for Memorial Hall and Festival Hall. And, you know, we've got a partnership with them where, you know, if there's light construction touches that need to be done, 5K is responsible for doing that. And they've done a great job of cleaning the place up and doing some other things, you know, more material things that we've been doing. But yeah, I mean, they've come in and said, look, we need some new carpeting in this space, and we need, you know, we need to repair some things that are there. And so it's just been really good to have a partner managing the site that's been identifying, you know, the concerns that we have there. Memorial Hall, as people know, just a beautiful historic space. I mean, you couldn't build something like that today if you want to, right?
No.
So, but making sure that it doesn't fall into disrepair has been, you know, a really important thing that Patrick's been able to do, just to be able to point out, like, hey, did you know that this needs to be repaired or this needs to be done? And so it's been really important for us to be able to do that. And, you know, that site is a really important site. It was donated to the community by the veterans associations here locally. And it's been great to see the veterans groups using the site again, but also great to see the community beginning to use it more frequently as well. It's been really important to be able to do that.
Oh, my goodness. I could not believe how beautiful Memorial Hall in particular looked. Yeah. Just clean and sparkling, and the way I remember it as a kid growing up. And I can't believe what a difference all that has made. So it was money very well spent on the part of the city to make all that happen. I can't say enough. I hope people will even just go to take a look at those two places, because
absolutely do. Well, you know, and right next to Memorial Hall, they've got the library that just went through some renovations last year as well. So, you know, there's some really exciting stuff happening all right downtown there. If people haven't had a chance to go to an event at Festival Hall or Memorial Hall, or had a chance to check out the new renovations on the second floor of the library, which now has a Lake Street entrance, in addition to, you know, you don't have to park down in the back if you don't need to. It's certainly made it easier for handicap accessibility reasons. And it orients the library a little bit more to the downtown too, so you don't have to just go down, you know, off of Pershing there to get to it. So it's been a good bit of redevelopment that we've had in those public spaces just in the last year.
Most definitely. Now, and if you're not prepared to talk about this, it looks like the YMCA building is coming down.
It is. So the city has acquired the property through the YMCA, and it is a building that is in much disrepair, shall we say.
Such a shame.
Yeah, really is. Well, I grew up learning to swim in that pool. I taught my kids to swim in that pool in that space. And so, you know, I think we're definitely, at a loss as a city to not have that kind of facility in the city anymore. And, you know, they moved Sealed Air. Now Image Management Y is out in Mount Pleasant, but it has left a hole in the city in terms of having access to those kind of resources that, you know, we hope the Y or some other group will be able to fill. But the building itself has to come down. It is just in such a state of disrepair that it's got to come down. And so the city will take that on, this summer and fall. And, you know, my hope is if we have this conversation a year from now, you'd talk about an empty site there that's clean and safe and no longer a potential threat to public safety.
Well, that's really good to hear. Are there plans for the site?
Not specifically. I think people look at the view and think, oh my gosh, this must be amazing. We have to remind people there's, you know, substantial resources that you have to put in just to get the site down and make sure that it's a clean site and ready that people sometimes forget about. So, but we don't have a specific, plan in place or a developer attached to it or anything.
Okay.
I think for us, it was just, you know, hearing from the fire chief and others that, hey, this building really is unsafe. Like, you can't have people in there. And if you don't take it down, it's just a tragedy waiting to happen. And so, once that became clear, just from a public safety standpoint, we needed to take action and acquire the property and do our part to take it down. Cause it is unsafe to continue as it is.
Right. Well, and it's such a beautiful piece of property.
It's
got to be very valuable to, to anybody who would be looking at putting something there. So I'm excited that that's going to happen. All I kept thinking was, oh my gosh, this is another Northridge waiting to happen. Bad things were going to happen to that building if they didn't do something.
Well, and we've had that. We've had squatters in there. I mean, it's full of asbestos.
Oh, really?
For safety reasons, I mean, we're in the summer, so it's less of a concern because it's warmer out. But, you know, in the winter months, you know, people looking for shelter would break in. And even if we'd secure the building, people would break in again and again. And it's just hard to convey to people. It's just really not safe to be in that building at all. So,
Well, that's wonderful. Good. Fabulous things are happening in downtown Racine. Can you talk about the zoo for a minute?
Sure. The zoo's doing great. We just had the Racine Concert Band just had their first Sunday concert there.
Yes.
So people, you need a friendly reminder, but Sunday evenings, for the remainder of the summer, you can go to the zoo and hear the Racine Concert Band, two great institutions that are city-funded things. We've got the longest going concert band, 102 years in the state of Wisconsin. I went to Racine Concert Band, and then the zoo was just this amazing resource that the city owns, and the zoo organization does a great job running the site and making sure that the animals are there. It is one of the most frequented city destinations that people have. People love coming there and seeing it. And it's just, for a city our size to have a zoo like that, right on the lake with the diversity of animals that are available, it's a great time. Our kids are 15, 13, and 12, so the zoo's not quite as animating for them when they were 5, 3, and 2. But right. Spent a lot of time there as a family with our kids, and I know a lot of other people do as well. So it's a really nice asset that the community has.
Most definitely. We are so unbelievably fortunate to have a zoo with the history that it has, the location that it has. And, kind of going back to what you were talking about downtown, those of us who have lived here all or most of our lives take so much of this for granted.
Yeah.
And it's only when we begin to see it through the eyes of people from the outside. I worked with the zoo on a couple of national barbecue events. So we had barbecue teams in from all over the country. And they were blown away by the location. These are guys that mostly set up in Walmart parking lots.
Right.
To be in a park-like setting overlooking a lake was just amazing to them. And it really forced me to look at it from their point
from fresh of view. Eyes.
Same thing with downtown.
Well, and let's not forget the Racine Art Museum, too, if we're talking about
sort of community
that are out there, right? I mean, that's another wonderful, wonderful facility that people want to see the arts and crafts collection, but also, just the way that they make that building accessible to the community is just a wonderful asset to the community as well. And so we get lots of visitors from out of town that come to the Racine Art Museum. And sometimes it's just good to remind people who are here, hey, we've got this great art museum downtown. People should go check it out.
Exactly. Well, and historical museum, and it just goes on and on. We are so very fortunate to have all that we do, and we do need to look at it with new eyes. Maybe changing the directions of the street was a good thing, because I'm seeing things that I hadn't seen before.
Right.
So that's good. When we come back, we'll be talking with Patrick Flynn from 5K Events. So stay with us for more of Community Matters. My guest this morning has been Mayor Corey Mason from Racine and Patrick Flynn from 5K Events. We'll be talking about the changes and the exciting things that are happening at Festival Park, Festival Hall, and Memorial Hall. So you're listening to WGTD. Well, welcome back to part two of Community Matters, as promised earlier in the show. With me is Patrick Flynn, and Patrick is kind of new to this this part of the genre of what we've been talking about, but certainly not new to Racine and not new to many of you. Now, Patrick, tell us what your role is in regard to Memorial Hall and Festival Hall.
So we are, for lack of better words, I would be the general manager of the facility. So we oversee the facilities, maintain the facilities, but also focused on bringing them back to life. So we have a company prior to this called 5K Events. We've been in business since 2010. With 5K Events, we were primarily focused on endurance events, but we did do quite a few reunions and festivals with that, not to the level of Festival Park standards, but definitely. We're doing those type of things. And then prior to that, I was the vice president of Plan Ahead Events, which was based out in West Palm Beach, Florida. And that was an event planning franchise focused on trade shows, expos, things like that. And so I want to bring that talent from that over to Festival Park, combine that with 5K Events, and hopefully that all culminates here and we have a beautiful, vibrant park for 2025.
Oh, most definitely. It sounds like a really good marriage of all of the things that you've done and all of the beautiful facilities that Racine has to offer. Now, how many months have you been?
So we're in our fifth month.
Okay. So this is still a new thing.
Still a new thing. We were a little nervous because we wanted to take over January 1st, So we would have a head start on getting the summer weekends booked. But as it turns out, starting in March, worked out very well for us. And the first 2 weeks we were here, we booked 35 events. We have a pretty good schedule of events.
That's moving phenomenal. Throughout the
season. Yeah, we're pretty excited.
Tell me what kind of events you're booking.
Well, last weekend we did a quinceañera. We did a 5K. We did a benefit for the Daryl Bellin. What was number four?
We had a cancer benefit. It was our market, our public market.
Oh, and the public market.
Yeah. Oh, and we didn't introduce our other guest.
Yes.
Would you care to introduce yourself? I'm sorry.
I'm Kevin McDougall. I'm the director of sales here at Festival Park LLC and 5K Events.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Kevin, we're glad you're here as well, because you have the cool part of what's going on down there, the food and beverage.
He does. We won't let him do anything but sales and development. We won't even let him pick up a table or do any of those things.
Yeah, I work with bringing in the events and creating events and working with the sponsors that come down here and help us put on these events. And so we, like as Patrick said, we've had great success in revitalizing these grounds because we're of the generation that remember what these grounds were at one time.
Yes.
When there was events happening every weekend, 52 weeks a year, and that's what we're trying to recreate.
With our
stewardship of these venues.
And I misspoke. I said last week, but that was 2 weeks ago that we had the four events in one day. The craziest week was when we had Lighthouse Run on Saturday and then the Trump rally on Tuesday. So we went right from Lighthouse Run, which had about 1,000 people down here in the park, to getting everything set up and ready for the Trump rally.
So, I want to ask about that.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, just because, and I've always been sort of on the edges of when presidents or visiting dignitaries have come, kind of as a media person once in a while, and sometimes just as a spectator. And I would love to know what the behind-the-scenes stuff looks
like. Very interesting.
It has to be.
Yeah. Well, it started 4 weeks before they came. We had a call that somebody wanted to come down here and do an event. And they didn't identify who they were. We asked them to come down for what we call a discovery day, to come tour the facilities and take a look at things. And they came down, and they were young people, and we were talking with them just like they were friends. Mm-hmm. And it turned out they were with the Biden organization. So Biden was going to come down. So then we spent 2 weeks preparing for Biden, and then Microsoft, the president of Microsoft, came in the day before Biden was coming. And we're like, this is pretty cool. This whole process with the Secret Service, the president of Microsoft, now Biden's coming. And then the day before he was supposed to come, they canceled and went to Gateway. It was like a girlfriend broke up with you.
It was so
devastating.
Yeah, we were excited.
We were so excited to have him here. And then right after that, someone calls again, same scenario. Then they told us they were at the Trump organization. I'm like, I'll handle this call. I don't want you guys. So far into this, they're probably going to miss it. And then I sent them an invoice and they paid it. And I was like, well, looks like they're coming.
That's going to happen.
That was a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
With the Trump.
Oh,
it happened pretty quickly.
We had less than 2 weeks. So, but it was chaos. It was organized chaos. I'm not a Republican. I don't want to express that. And I'm not a Democrat. I consider myself an independent.
Fair.
But the entire process was absolutely amazing for everybody on our staff involved. One of our employees was like, I'm not coming, I'm not a Trump fan. Well, he turned out, he loved it, the whole process. He
can't help but get caught up in that
experience. It just gives you a new look at presidential candidates and what they have to go through. We had Walker here, and we had
Tommy Thompson here.
So
it was kind of a who's who of the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin. Everybody was here.
Everybody was.
Two congressmen. Brian Stile was here. Derek Van Orden was here. Sheriff was here. Everybody was here. So
we started this wall in our sales office.
Yeah, right behind us here. Everybody behind the wall.
Sales wall. So anytime we have any performers or famous people, we ask them to sign the bricks on our wall.
I love that. That is very cool. That is very
basketball
cool.
Player.
Yeah, Ron Butler.
Ron Butler was here a week earlier, and then
Walker, I hope he signed a really tall brick.
He did, way on the top. And then then Governor Walker wanted to sign right next to him. We had to get him a chair so he could get up there.
That's funny. I love that. So what kinds of preparations did you have to make for that type of political rally compared to what you do when somebody else is coming, when I'm having a quinceanera or something?
Well, I'll let Kevin answer that, but it was very secretive.
Yeah.
So we didn't even talk about it.
Yeah. So they had a very specific vision as to what they wanted the grounds to look like. They had a very specific, you know, they do their homework. You know, they looked at Google Earth to see how the park was situated against the harbor and what they wanted the TV shots to look like and things like that. So, you know, we had certain amenities that we already had here at the park, but what we didn't have, they rented from a partner of ours, General Rental. Oh. And they brought in bleachers and things like that. They had to have a separate deck for television cameras. They needed a comms deck behind where, you know, President Trump was going to be for, you know, the for the teleprompters and everything like that. So that had to be brought in. You know, we have a nice fixed stage here at the park, but that was facing south to where it didn't have the best, you know, television shot. They wanted a shot of the harbor and the marina. So they put the stage in a different vantage point. So really everything that they wanted, they carried with them for the most part, but they did have to rent a few different things other than what we didn't already have.
And we had to move things over and over and over again. Like we have our 5K events trailer. I think I moved it five times.
Yeah.
Just because they didn't want any possible line of sight to the president outside the park.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So we
do a lot of protecting that way. So yeah. We were moving a lot of things over and over again, but, at the end of the day,
it ran pretty smooth.
It was so smooth.
Yeah.
It was amazingly smooth. It was a hot day. We did have three people collapse in the line, but then we immediately went out and started handing water out.
Okay.
I think we went through about 12,000 bottles of water that day.
So oh, it was, my goodness. Wow.
And it helped. We didn't do any alcohol sales, so I think that kept things down.
Nice. Yeah.
Craziness down, but it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Now, as a former events planner myself, did you have a rain plan? Other than praying like man.
they rented the entire facility.
Okay.
So if we needed to, we could have come into Festival Hall and the stage was up and we were somewhat prepared for that. But there was no rain in the forecast.
Okay.
So that was quickly just discarded. The one weird thing was on the day the president was coming in, you know, we all came in to work, but then we all had to vacate the building for 2 hours so they could bring their dogs through and do
right.
all that. And then the only way we could get back in was to go back through the security line. So, they let us in first, but it was kind of strange being, we sat at Memorial Hall for 2 hours and worked on the next event.
right. Well, and now, you know, your place is safe. There's no bugs anywhere. There's no, you know, there's no planted bombs or anything that's kind of good.
They're kind of a home base while they were here.
Yeah.
They did kick us out of a few rooms.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, once we had a pretty good relationship with them.
Yeah, they were great.
We had a lot of freedom to get around. The day before President came, we cooked. There had to be 40 people.
Yep.
We cooked brats for them, and we ordered Kringle from Benston's Kringle and brought in all the different flavors. And they said to us they had never been treated so kindly than they were here in Racine. So that was kind of a proud moment for all of us.
Yeah.
That's great to hear. Yeah, Racine knows hospitality. It really does. And
Racine's got a long history of presidential visits. So
well, exactly. Exactly. Well, and I can only imagine the team who's used to setting up in parking lots and in concrete buildings coming down and seeing what they were going to have to work with. Oh, my goodness.
We shocked them a little bit with the weather, though.
We got a nice little break in the morning. It was a little cloud cover, which helped cool us off a little bit that morning.
Yeah.
But it heated up later in the day.
But through the setup process, it was either hot or it was cold or it was raining or
oh.
it was just one of it. We got everything that
a little bit of everything.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, and I guess at this point I should backtrack and ask you to talk about the I don't want to call them improvements, the enhancements that have been made to both Memorial Hall, Festival Park, and Festival Hall.
Yeah.
Made all this work.
Yeah, the Festival Park was, I think, rather easy because we were able to outsource most of it. But you remember everything used to be teal, that the 80s teal look. Right. So all the framework, doors, windows, all that frame has all been painted black. We had new carpeting put in just before the Trump rally, but we had it put in before we officially took over. And then we had two events, and our second event was the Kenosha Prom. And I wasn't thinking, and these kids wear a lot of glitter.
And oh, yeah.
The day after the event, we look at the hall, and there was glitter literally everywhere. Yeah. Our chairs looked like ruby red slippers. And I said, all right, I'm going out. I bought three vacuums, and I had our operations crew vacuuming and cleaning all the chairs and the carpeting, and it took them 60 hours to get all the glitter out of the carpet and out of the floor. So now I have a glitter feed.
Yeah, we have a glitter clause.
Learned my lesson on that one.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear that Kenosha had their prom by us.
Well,
yeah, it's the Indian Trail prom.
Yeah, and my understanding is that we are the largest facility in Southeast Wisconsin, and that there really is no other facility that can host that many people. We had 730 kids sitting down for dinner.
Oh my gosh!
So imagine all those tables and still having a dance floor and a stage. There's just no indoor facility that can accommodate that. So,
no kidding.
So we're going to try to use that to our advantage. We're going to try to get some more trade shows back here. You know, we're hoping the home show comes back. If they don't, we may create one. We'd like to get a wedding show back here, but we're working on a franchise show and some other events.
Right.
We have a Transit Expo happening in Memorial Hall in October, so we're pretty excited about that, so we can showcase the breakout rooms and things we can do in Memorial Hall. Memorial Hall was a little bit more work for us. That building was extremely neglected.
It was.
And when we first walked through there, we were a little more than shocked. Walls were decaying. The tables that we have are extremely heavy. Well, they would stack those 30 high, and then they would push them into rooms in a cart. Well, they must have hit every lamp, every doorway, every corner, you name it. It had to be repaired. And so we used a guy from Jack Landwehr from Jack's Painting came in, and he brought in a crew and helped us out. He's been just amazing in what he's been able to transform in there with us. So we have one room left to do, and that's the Racine room, and it's on the lower level. It has a huge bar in it and a lot of columns. But right now we're using that room for storage. There's some mold in there we need to remediate, but we should have that room ready soon. So
that is amazing. I look forward to the day when the Racine prom comes back and uses both buildings.
So do we.
Cannot.
We're having some discussions.
Strongly enough. That is, I love that idea. You know,
we can't promise it yet. We are talking to them.
We're efforting.
Oh, good. Good. I am so excited to hear that.
And there's mixed feelings in the community about bringing them back and not bringing them back. But to me, this is their home. Just like Salmon Arama, this is their home.
Exactly.
The Racine prom started here, and we really want them back. To keep up that tradition that our kids all enjoy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. I used to do the broadcast for Time Warner for prom.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And it was so much fun to just sit there and watch the kids come in and talk about what they're dressed as, and oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was fabulous. And yeah.
No matter where you have it, presents its own set of challenges, and those are
it does.
You know, you got to work through. So.
The motorcade is always the biggest challenge.
That's one of them.
Yeah. I remember because
and don't forget the glitter.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm amazed at the number of venues I have been at that will not allow you to have glitter in the building. And I
we have that policy.
But they wore it in. They didn't.
They wore it in. Unintended.
Didn't catch that one. I didn't know that was going to happen.
So in the last 4 or 5 minutes that we have, Salmon Arama's coming back.
Yes. Yeah, we are.
Tell us what we know about that so far.
So I talked to Salmon Arama 2 months before we officially had the contract. And I said, talk to me about what you're doing down, you know, right, they were at Reef Point. And I said, tell me what your expenses are at the, at Reef Point, you know. And so they said, well, we got to rent this tent, we got to rent porta potties, we got to rent the stage. They went through all their expenses. And I said, okay, why don't you come back to Festival Park, and I will charge you what all your expenses were, but everything's already in place for you. You don't have to bring anything in. You got a bigger park. You got parking. All the problems that you're having over there, we can resolve by you coming over here. So it's a bigger facility, more parking, just allows them to expand and grow. Plus, I firmly believe that this place would not exist if it wasn't for Salinorama, because that is, you know, when I was here, when Salinorama was in the parking lot, and and I really think that was a catalyst to this festival part. So we want them here for years to come, and so we're working on that now, and we will make some revisions to our five-year contract based on this event and their needs. But originally, we were just renting half the park to them to help keep costs down. But we had a meeting this morning. We said, you guys, you need the whole park. They just had, it's, this event is so big, so much bigger than anybody anticipated. We just, today the decision was made, we're doing the full park instead of half the park. So, and they agreed. So.
Well, and I'm so pleased to hear you say you're willing to work with an event when it comes to cost. Right. Because if I heard it once, I heard it 50 times, oh, it was so expensive to go there. They just priced us out of coming. But that shouldn't be a concern to people. They should approach you and talk about
it. It should never be a concern. Anybody who wants to come down here and do a festival, Kevin and I will work directly with them. But, you know, if you sit down and you look, oh, my God, the park is going to cost me $1,600. And then I got this fee and I got this fee and I got to bring in and, you know, got to pay for insurance. What we do is we sit down with them and we say, okay, so this is our fixed cost. We will show you how to pay for that 100% through sponsorships, through subsidy grants, whatever we have, whatever, you know, we'll break it down. As long as they follow our program, we can show them how to make this feasible for anybody. So for a public event.
So right, right.
Private events are different.
That is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, there's always a way to make it happen.
Good, good, good. Catering is available.
Yep. So in the past, it was exclusive. And that was with Danny's Catering, and they're still one of the caterers, but we've now opened it up to any caterer can come down here. So if you want Asian food, you want barbecue, you want, you know, whatever it might be, and whoever you might want to cook that food, they're invited to come down here. It's not exclusive to everybody. The community, I feel this building was built for the community, so it shouldn't belong to any one person. So Perfect. Everybody's invited.
Oh, that's fabulous. We got 1 minute. Anything you want to add, or are you ready to just invite the public down?
Well, we've got a lot of great events that we've been bringing back to the park. Thursday nights is our Hot Harbor Nights, which is our free music in the park event. So we invite everybody to come down on Thursday evenings, bring your lawn chairs, chill next to the harbor, and listen to some great music. We have Salmonorama coming back. River Fest is August 3rd. It's our inaugural River Fest, which is a collaboration amongst all the marinas along the river and all the bars. So come on out for that. So we're excited about that. And we've got Oktoberfest coming up this fall. Bark in the Park is another event. So just so many great things. Anybody that wants to have a wedding, a quinceanera, a corporate event, just reach out to us at festivalpark.com, and we'd love to arrange a tour and get them a nice price and welcome them to have a great event at our facilities.
Yes, we're booking all the way into 2025 already. So,
absolutely.
So those weekends are booking up. But all of that information, all the events, and all the availability, the date availabilities are online at festivalpark.com.
Well, and thanks to all of you who've joined us today on Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host. So glad that you've been with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine.